God bless you guys. Such a good night.
All right, we are in Judges chapter 9 this evening. Judges chapter 9, we're doing 21 verses tonight. As you're turning there with me, I think this phrase is familiar to many of us, the phrase that goes, playing both sides of a fence. You guys heard that phrase? That phrase came into my mind as I was reading through this passage of Judges tonight, thinking, okay, how can I possibly encourage the church with this, right? Well, God's word is great, and it's for us. It's not about us, but it's for us. And when we think about that that phrase, right, playing both sides of a fence, right, it's characterized by somebody with a willingness to appease two opposing sides, right, in an argument, or possibly an inability to pick a definitive side. Someone who is playing both sides of a fence may show themselves to be indecisive, unable to assert their convictions to one argument or another, or they may show themselves to be disloyal or dishonest or even manipulative, seeking to take advantage by appealing to both parties. Okay, there's really no positive connotation to this phrase, playing both sides of a fence. In our spiritual walk, right, we know which side of the fence we identify with, right? Jesus tells us in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus' side of the fence is where we stand, right? As we set the stage for where we find the children of Israel tonight, let's again, like I like to do, let's journey back to the choice that was put before them at Shechem. In the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 2, the Lord says to them, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Fast forwarding to 14 of the same chapter, it says, now therefore fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And so, of course, right, the Israelites said, oh yeah, far be it from us to go against and forsake the Lord, right? And so they chose God. But, right, As we've gone through the last 8 chapters of Judges, and we know how this has turned out so far, it says, but tonight we find our man Abimelech, right, looking to lead Israel by sitting on the fence and playing both sides of it. Okay, so join me in a word of prayer, and we'll get into this passage of Scripture. Lord, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you that it is truth. Lord, that it is for us to learn, Lord, to grow us, God, and build us. Lord, I ask you tonight that you would just speak through this passage, God, to our hearts. Lord, soften us to those things that you have for us tonight. Lord, we thank you, we praise you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so it says, then Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem, to his mother's brothers, and spoke with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, please speak in the hearing of all the men of Shechem, which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember that I am your flesh and bone. And his mother's brother spoke all those words concerning him in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. And their heart was inclined to follow Abimelech. For they said to for they said, "He is our brother." So they gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal Berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless men, and they followed him. And then he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the 70 sons of Jerubbaal, on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left because he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, all of Beth Milo, and went and they went and made Abimelech king beside the terebinth tree at the pillar that was in Shechem. Now when they told Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim and lifted his voice and cried out. And he said to them, "Listen to me, you men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them. And they said to the other olive tree, 'Reign over us.' And the olive tree said to them, 'Should I cease giving my oil with which they honor God and men and go forth to sway over trees?' Then the tree said to the fig tree, 'You come and reign over us.' But the fig tree said to them, 'Should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go to sway over trees?' Then the tree said to the vine, 'You come and reign over us.' But the vine said to them, 'Should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and men, and go to sway over trees?' Then all the trees said to the bramble, 'You come and reign over us.' And the bramble said to the trees, 'If in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if you have acted in truth and sincerity in making Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done to him as he deserves, for my father fought for you, risked his life, and delivered you out of the bond of Midian, but you have risen up against my father's household this day and killed the 70 sons on one stone and made Abimelech, the son of his female servant, king over the men of Shechem because he is your brother. If then you have acted in truth and sincerity with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, listen and rejoice in Abimelech and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and both and Beth Millel. And let fire come from the men of Shechem and Beth Milo and devour Abimelech." And Jotham ran away and fled. And he went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. Whoa, okay. So deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth, right? So let's continue to set the stage again by going back to what has happened to remind ourselves how we got to this place, right? Okay, so it's been 40 years of quiet Jerubbaal was deliverer over Israel. And at the tail end of chapter 8, like we learned last week, in verse 33, it says, as soon as Gideon was dead, the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal Berith their god. Thus, the children did not remember the Lord their God. So, it's kind of at this point, it's like par for the course, right? Like, as soon as Gideon was dead, he dies and they're like, okay, well, we're back to what we were doing before. All right, so verse 1 starts, and it says, then Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem to his mother's brothers and spoke with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father. So Shechem is in the territory belonging to Ephraim. So let's not forget that Ephraim was unable to completely drive out the Canaanites. Right, we talked about that weeks ago. So in Judges chapter 1, 28 and 29, it says, and it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but did not completely drive them out. Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer. So the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them, or Gezer. So these men that Abimelech goes to are essentially Canaanites. Like, a large number of them are of the house of Canaan and Hivites, right? Because, again, we remember that from last week in chapter 8, Abimelech was born to his father's concubine in Shechem. So she was a Hivite woman. So it says in verse 2, it says to the men of Shechem, please speak in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. Which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal reign over you, or that one man reign over you? Remember that I am your own flesh and bone. So right here in saying that, he is essentially rejecting his Hebrew lineage for a second in order to appeal to these men with whom he's trying to gain credibility, right? And so staying on the fence, right? He's not on either side of it at this point. He seeks to appeal to both his lineage as a Hebrew through his father and Hivite through his mother to gain power. And they forget, or they are completely unaware of what Moses commanded them about such a person, right? So from Deuteronomy 17, chapter 17, verses 14 and 15, it says, when you come to the land which the Lord God is giving you, and possess it, and dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations that are around me. You shall surely set a king over you, whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brethren. Right? So, and throughout our time in Judges, there hasn't been a deliverer for Israel that God has not set in their place, right? And so for Abimelech to sort of put himself there is unprecedented. And that was what God had commanded them through Moses, not one who God has chosen, and from among your own brethren. And so in this, he is sort of appealing to both, because he is a brother of the Canaanite men and a brother of the Hebrews that are there in Ephraim. In verse 3, it says, and his mother's brother spoke all these words concerning him in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. And their heart was inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother, right? Technically, he is our brother. Right? And Abimelech was the brother of everyone there in Shechem. So both Israelite and Canaanite. So playing both sides of the fence in order to, again, seize power. And since there was no king, like it says in Judges 21:25, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So in verse 4 it says, so they gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal-Berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless men, and they followed him. 70 shekels of silver is no small amount. I did like a little bit of a conversion like on Google or whatever, and like 70 shekels was like $1,500 to $2,000 in like today's money. So it's not a small amount. Scripture doesn't tell us how many men he hired. It doesn't, and it doesn't tell us like how much he was planning to pay each of them. But for the price of like half that amount, 30 shekels, you could buy a servant, a slave, or you could buy like a farm. So you think like twice that amount is no small amount, no small chunk of change. And we look at these worthless and reckless men that he hired with these 70 shekels of silver, and they just followed him, right? Worthless is a word, something or someone lacking value, use, or merit, or lacking moral character, right? And you combine that with someone who's reckless, right? Actions taken without caution, care, or regard for dangerous consequences, often characterized by irresponsible or foolhardy behavior. So you take both of those things into one person, and you have yourself a pretty dangerous cocktail. In Proverbs 14, verse 15, it says, the simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. And so if we are prudent in the way that we go about our life, right? Prudent meaning, right, thinking ahead, right? Measuring out in front of you consequences, right? Thinking about, okay, if I do A, B may happen, or C may happen, right? So acting with caution, right? Somebody who is reckless in the way that they act is not thinking about or acting with prudence. It says in verse 5, then he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the 70 sons of Jerubbaal, on one stone. Right, Proverbs 1, verse 10 and 11 warns us. It says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Right, this mass killing definitely was not secret. It says on a single stone, on one stone, he killed all 70 of his father's sons, his half brothers. Right, killing 70 men in the same place is a public display of force, at a shift in power dynamic. Abimelech clearly stating with this action, the new sheriff in town, okay? So now instead of, right, being on the fence as he has been in gaining the helpers and allegiance is the word I was thinking of. Thank you, Lord. Right now he's literally drawing a line, saying, okay, this is my side now. Get on my side. Right. Okay, so but Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left because he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, all of Beth Milo, and they went and made Abimelech king beside the terebinth tree at the pillar that was in Shechem. So whether or not these men believe in Abimelech at this point, and maybe fear is driving them to action, right? I mean, I can imagine myself, like, you see the guy who you supposedly support and are working for, right, kill 70 men. You're like, oh, dude, that could happen to me. Yikes. Right? If I'm not steadfast in my conviction, right, I might easily allow it to happen, right? Driving them to action, right, by fear, maybe. The 70 shekels was a down payment to whatever kind of rain comes next, for better or worse, right? They didn't know. It was just, right, watch what I'm going to do. And verses 18, 19 of Proverbs chapter 1 says, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. We don't always know the consequences of those actions, right? But it says that they're from verses 10 and 11, right? Lying in wait for somebody else, you're actually lying in wait for your own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives without knowing it. So are the ways of everyone in who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. So moving on in verse 7, it says, "And so now that when they had told Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim, and he lifted his voice and cried out, and he said to them, 'The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, "Reign over us." But the olive tree said to them, "Should I cease giving my oil with which they honor God and men and go to sway over trees?" Right? Good fruit, the olive. Olive oil used for ointments and things. Rejected the offer to be king over the trees. So the trees, their first pick was out. They go to the fig tree. "You come and reign over us." The fig tree said to them, "Should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go to sway over the trees?" Choice two out of it. So then they go to the vine, right? Choice number three, "You come and reign over us." But the vine said, "Should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and men, and go to sway over trees?" Okay, so all the trees get together and they say, okay, our first three picks are rejecting us. Let's go and get the bramble. Right, the bramble will do anything. Right, "You come and reign over us," they say to the bramble. And the bramble said to the trees, "If in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon." As I was looking into what is assuredly Jotham's representation, or he is associating the bramble with Abimelech. And you look at a bramble tree, a bush, bramble bush, a thorn bush. Right? It might look on the outside from a distance like it could offer you an abundance of shade on a hot day. When you get closer, you realize it's a shrub that is full of thorns. And it's not going to be fun to lie underneath. And there's not a lot of good that comes from it. I was actually, I did a deep dive. I became a botanist for a couple seconds. And I was looking into different species of thorn bushes. And many of them are invasive species. They are, the word is hardy, H-A-R-D-Y. Meaning they are very resilient to weather changes. They can grow in all kinds of soils. They're not taken back by difficult weather. And so they will grow wherever, and they will compete with other species that are growing nearby. And so oftentimes at the expense of those species, very destructive in nature is the bramble tree. The other thing that I was looking at interesting too is that the bramble is not looked at as favorable for animals, right? Native species of insects or birds, or their berries are oftentimes poisonous. So the association with Abimelech here is that, okay, it looks like a lot of good things are coming from Abimelech, right? From the perspective of the men of Shechem, certainly from the men that he has paid money to, and hired them, right? Because they're worthless and reckless. But to those individuals who are discerning, like Jotham, Right? There's nothing good coming from Abimelech, and in fact, there's a lot bad that's coming from Abimelech. Right? That word settling comes to my mind, right? They chose the olive tree, the fig tree, the vine, right? Were rejected by all three. And so they settled for the bramble as their king. They're so desperate for a king. We need a king. We need a king. Right? So, what might seem like a shady spot is actually destructive. So, who have we chosen? What side of the fence are we on? Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The answer is no. We know them by their fruits. Unlike the men of Shechem and the worthless and reckless men whom Abimelech hires, we are called to discern the good from the bad. Paul encourages us in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. He says, in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So in verse 16, Jotham says, now therefore, if you have acted in truth and sincerity in making Abimelech king, P.S., I know you haven't, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house and have done to him as he deserves, P.S., I know you haven't, for my father fought for you, risked his life, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. But you have risen up against my father's house this day and killed his 70 sons on one stone and made Abimelech, the son of his female servant, right, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. Right, verse 19. And then you acted in truth and sincerity with Jerubbaal and with his house this day. Then rejoice in Abimelech and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth Milo. And let fire come out of the men of Shechem and Beth Milo and devour Abimelech. Jesus does not mince words when he says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Who do we serve? What side of the fence are we on? Paul commands us in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again by a yoke of bondage. And as our passage wraps up and ends here tonight, in verse 21, it says, and Jotham ran away and fled, and he went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech his brother. After he says all these things, he runs away. He fled after saying what he said because he was afraid. And Paul calls us to stand fast in it. Right? Those things that we know to be true, that God has called us to share the truth. A city upon a hill cannot be hidden, Jesus says. The Lord tells Israel in Deuteronomy 36, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. I want to tell you a quick story and then we'll close. A story that you may have heard or heard one similar to it. The story goes like this. A man had a dream. And in his dream, he's standing at the edge of a wide, expansive field. In the middle of the field he's standing at is a fence. On one side of the fence is Jesus. On the other side of the fence is Satan. And Satan looks at him and says, "Come to my side of the fence. I can give you all the things that you want. Everything you have is yours. Everything you ever wanted will be yours as well. Come to my side of the fence." And the man looks at Jesus, and he looks at Satan, and he looks at the fence, and he smiles. And he goes and he hops on the fence. He sits right on that fence. And as he sits on the fence, his vision goes dark. And gone is the field, gone is the fence, and out of the darkness comes Satan. And the guy pulls back and he says, whoa, Satan, I didn't choose you. I chose the fence, right? I want a little bit of the good stuff, a little bit of what Jesus gives me, and then I want some of my own stuff too. I hopped on the fence. I didn't choose you. And Satan grabs him by the arm and says, I own the fence. The fence belongs to me too, right? So let's be encouraged in this, guys, right? Anything, and we know this, anything that is not Jesus is on the other side of the fence, right? Let's be always on Jesus' side of the fence. This is our charge as we close tonight. Not to be like Abimelech or the men hired by him or the men of Shechem. Get off your fence and choose the Lord. Amen? All right. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your word that is truth, God. Lord, I thank you for God offering us that opportunity, Lord, to put aside things that we desire. God, to choose you, to choose your timing, to choose what you have for us, Lord, your blessings, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.